Tommy. Good morning there, big fella.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Pardon?
I said I can hear you loud and clear.
That's all that fucking matters.
That's all that matters. You know what really matters, though, is having a sweet intro, because everybody seems to be telling us that we should have an intro for our podcast.
Yep. Wait, we're recording already?
Oh, you know what that sounded like? Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, fucking Hannibal Lecter.
Did you ever see that movie?
I don't think I've ever watched that movie in full.
Oh, Tom, do yourself a favor. That's a gem.
If it's not on a streaming service, I don't even know how to even watch things anymore if they're not on a streaming service.
I don't know, but I was going to say one of my favorite Twitter accounts I follow is Blockbuster.
Really?
Well, it's just like old funny jokes that have to do with Blockbuster.
That's the best. There's still actually one Blockbuster open in the U.S.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I think that's the Twitter account. I think the joke is that we're like the last Blockbuster, and it's just them tweeting shit out.
And apparently, what they've been doing now to stay afloat, they're selling Blockbuster branded merchandise.
I'd wear it.
It's the fucking nostalgia thing. You'd totally wear that. Like, if someone brought out a shirt that had like Pogs on it, you'd be like, I'm going to buy the shit out of that thing.
I remember, like, I always enjoyed going to like a movie rental place and going like Jumbo Video, how you would get that dirty, salty popcorn bag.
That's so gross.
And then just walk around and choose your movies.
I remember when it was like after VHS, there was like the battle between like Blu-ray and HD DVD, and they had like split. And then like, remember when you like wanted to watch a movie and you fucking couldn't actually watch it because there weren't any copies to take.
Yeah. What a weird, weird thing to think of nowadays is like you jumping on a streaming service, be like, oh, sorry, there's already 3,000 people streaming this. You're not able to.
Yeah, like renting video games, you get them for like 2 days.
Oh, yeah, I forgot you could rent video games too. There was an article about Blockbuster in that there was a certain point where they had the opportunity to buy Netflix, and it was for like $7 million.
Yeah.
And they said, no, they're like, no, people will always want just like physical copies of something, and they're going to come in a store and buy it. And now you think of that, like the investment, the return on that of $7 million, like a fucking multi-billion dollar industry.
There's a lot of stories like that. There's like stories or like the one guy who is like a partner in Apple, and like he sold his portion of it for like $800 back in like the 70s or whatever. And then now it would be worth like $80 billion.
That's also why cryptocurrency is like a tough one too. Like people will buy, say, like when it was funny, you could buy like a pizza using Bitcoin. But yeah. Now like that same kid, if he had saved the money that he had used to buy like a pizza with Bitcoin, he'd have like $300,000.
I don't get it. I honestly, truly do not understand Bitcoin. How you can like buy Bitcoin, you can like mine it. Like, how does that even make sense?
I don't know. That's beyond me.
Like, if it's electronic, can't you just like copy and paste it and have a shitload of it? Like, I don't know.
Well, I think if there's unlimited, it has no value. So there has to be a set. Limit? There has to be some kind of set amount to maintain like some kind of value to it.
Yeah, I guess.
I actually have no idea. I'm literally just talking out of my ass right now.
But that makes sense. Like scarcity increases the value of stuff. I don't fucking know. I can barely.
That sounded deep for a second until you were just like sighed and you're like, I don't know. I'm not really sure.
I don't know. I try not to worry about Bitcoin because I don't fucking care.
No, that's true.
I don't have any, so.
So what's new? What's groovy with Tom?
Well, I moved my office up to the upstairs again, which is exciting. I bought a whiteboard. So I've been trying to like perfect a to-do list productivity system for 33 years, and I still haven't really figured it out. But
what works and what doesn't work for you?
If I'm not like staring at it, like if I have to like flip to a different page or open a single app, I won't fucking look at it. Like I won't open like Trello or fucking, like I have Trello for like long-term stuff.
Yeah.
Basically shit I haven't put on paper yet. But like managing day to day, I'd rather just have, it's simpler to sort of like what I'm doing now is I have like home by nine shit and then personal stuff. And like I'll write a bunch of stuff. And then every so often I'll be like, that's not important. I don't even know why to have that on my list. It's like, if I forget it, it doesn't matter. And then every day I'll have like a piece of paper beside me of like 2 to 3 things that I have to do.
Yeah.
It's not going to be perfect, but
I don't think there is necessarily like a perfect system for everyone. It's almost like you got to experiment with a whole bunch of different ones and then pull together the different elements that work for you. Cause like at the end of the day, it's not about necessarily like the best one for capturing everything. It's like the one that you can stay consistent with that doesn't overwhelm you, that makes your life easier.
It's similar to like fucking workout magazines and they post like the perfect arm workout or fucking butt workout or whatever it is. And like everybody's body reacts differently to different things. So it's impossible to have a perfect workout that applies to everyone. It just physically does not work because science doesn't allow it. But it sells magazines, yeah. So who gives a fuck?
Yeah, and even just like the perfect workout is the workout you do.
Yeah, well, I say the best like workout stuff I read were like the nutrition and like exercise pyramid by like Eric Helms or whatever. And
it's, oh, like, yeah.
It was really good. And the number one thing is adherence. So like you need to make a program that you can do. Like you can make a 6-day a week program, but if you're not doing it, pointless.
Yeah. And you're so tempted to do those kinds of things. I find when you first like want to start a habit, like a new workout or like even start a business or do anything like that, like you're tempted to kind of go super deep on it and do it every day and try and like make this like huge progress. I don't know about you, but like I find most times if I try and do something 7 days a week, I get burned out or I just end up like falling off and then I don't do it for like weeks or months on end because I'm just kind of over it and I get frustrated.
Yeah, it's weird that in a lot of aspects of your life, you're told to like set really ambitious, lofty goals. But with regards to like exercise, like you shouldn't. Like you can like set lofty goals, but like your goal doesn't really matter unless you have like a plan in place. And if you don't have a plan that's reasonable, you won't do it.
Yeah, that's where like James Clear makes a lot of sense. Where it's like, it's not the goal that makes you successful. It's like the systems that you have in place to like reach the goal. I would say goals are almost like giving you a target or something to aim for. So it gives you like a sense of direction of what you want to do. But then the systems that like get you there, that's what's going to lead to you being successful of figuring out like how many days a week are you going to work out that are actually like realistic? What are you going to do? When are you going to do it? And for like how long?
I remember reading that. Like that, is that Atomic Habits?
Yeah.
I actually bought that yesterday at Costco.
Woo! Tom is reading, folks, multiple books.
No, it's good because it's like, say, this is kind of dumb, but say you want to grow your Instagram to 10,000 followers or whatever. Writing that down is meaningless. But if you make a plan of I will post every single day, that's better than saying, I just want to grow to 10,000. Well, I guess both are important, but if you don't have a plan in place, it's like, you can't just set a goal.
The goals are often, I find, like it's not that you're always, sometimes it's interesting to see how you get there because sometimes it's not necessarily the plan that you come up with, but at least like if you set something, like some kind of target, you at least have something to aim for. When you actually come up with a plan, you can come up with like things that will actually move you closer to that. Rather than just sort of like darting off every day and being like, oh, this guy's doing this for his workout routine, I'm going to do that. Or like this person built their Instagram by doing this, that's what I'll do next.
Instagram's fucked. Like, I feel like I've said that like probably every other episode. Like it's fucking, like every single time, like I just lose like probably 10 followers every single day. It's because you gain so much in those freaking giveaways and contests and you get all fucking fired up. Then like slowly but surely, like people go away. And even though you realize that it's still like a net gain over like a longer period of time, it still sucks to see it happen. And also, who the fuck cares? Like, it's fucking an Instagram follower. Like, why does it matter? But I don't know, Chris.
Like, for you, why does it matter? Or like when you lose 10 people, like what goes through your head?
I think it's because there's such a strong connection in my mind that a larger audience on social media will equate to more people, sort of like more brand awareness, blah, 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 blah.
Do you find, like, does self-doubt go through your head when those things happen? Like, if you lose 10 people, you're like, oh, is this a reflection of me or like the content I'm putting out or just like what I'm talking about?
No, because I just think I'm in, like, you know the Seth Godin book, The Dip?
Yep.
I'm in the dip, Chris. I'm in the dip, which is fine.
All right. How about you explain what The Dip is for all these listeners out there?
Oh, I just read it like 3 days ago. I don't fucking remember. It's like, it's the period of time, essentially, no matter how long it is, sort of before like a growth phase or something, like before you freaking grow or sell a lot or, but the important thing to realize is that if you're in a dip, it means that there isn't a potential upside at the end. But if you're in like, say, what are they call it, like a cul-de-sac, so if you had like a dead end, mm-hmm. you just have to recognize that. So I think like what I'm doing is definitely impactful and beneficial. It's just like, we're kind of, I don't even really see in a dip because like I'm doing more things constantly. We're doing good things. It's just, it's Instagram followers is an easy metric to track.
Yeah.
So it's like easy to see every day and blah, 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 blah. It's easy to see. That's why probably it's just like top of mind, even though
yeah,
I know that it's not that important, but subconsciously I'm like, but I want the number to be so big.
Yeah. It's almost like money. Right?
Yeah.
Like if you don't really define what is enough when it comes to either like Instagram followers or money, you can kind of just like keep floating with the tide until you're like, well, now I have 1 million followers and I'm not happy because this guy's got 5 million and he seems like he's happier than I am.
And even though I realize that high engagement is more important than a fucking stupid number, but
for sure.
Still, you just like, it's hard to ignore.
No, and like what I took from The Dip too was like how he talked about like when you first start like any kind of project or something like a business or even just like a workout routine or anything like that, you have all this kind of like inspiration, motivation, you're excited, you're like jacked up because it's something new. You're like, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to do something a little bit differently. And then like anything, you don't necessarily see like a return immediately, right? Like it's not like you built your Instagram following in a week. Like it's taken you a long time to get where you are. And The Dip is where a majority of people give up because like it's no longer, you're not necessarily seeing those kind of like immediate gains or like getting those kind of like dopamine hits that like keep you going. So then like you go down on the roller coaster and a lot of people give up at that point because they're like, oh shit's not coming easy, or like maybe I'm meant to be overweight and none of this is working. And then all of a sudden, like if you stick with it long enough and like you have something in mind that you're trying to like say achieve, and you have, I would say, like almost like the Simon Sinek thing, right? Like a strong enough why, like you're going to figure out how to get through it. But if you are building something like you are building something like I am, you kind of have like an intrinsic motivation to keep going. Cause I don't know about you, but like there's many days I wake up and I'm not motivated or inspired to like work on my business, but I do it because like I know that there's something on the other side and I'm going to keep working towards that. Like, do you find that?
Yeah. Like for me, like I've never really considered quitting because I don't think I really can. It's like almost like too important to quit. Like I kind of enjoy, I say it now because I'm in like a good mood, but like I kind of enjoy the process of like trying to figure things out.
Yeah.
As long as I'm not like levering myself too hard, like spending just shitloads of money on certain things. But
it's what about fun. When you were like a teenager or like in your 20s? Are you someone who always followed through on things, or like were you a start stopper? Like you'd start a project or start something new and then stop?
I just remember all I did in my 20s was like get fucking hammered all the time. I'm not even trying to.
And you always committed with that. You got hammered.
Yeah, I didn't fuck around when it came to that. I'm trying to think in my teenager and 20s, like I was very like in high school, like I was like naturally like relatively intelligent in like elementary school. Like I grasped concepts pretty easily. So I never really had to I never really had to put too much work ethic in to sort of grasp these simple concepts. And then in high school, it obviously gets a little bit more complicated. And I still had that sort of base level of intelligence, but I didn't really take that work ethic seriously to a point where I could like really excel. So I just procrastinated and did everything last minute and crammed through. And I kind of did the same thing in university. I just like But now, because the thing I'm doing is like interesting and I care about it, it's more sort of rewarding to do. But
you make an interesting point, though, that I think a lot of people do struggle with is if something doesn't come easy to them, they tend to give up. Where like once you're outside of school, you realize that like most of the shit you want in life requires persistence of like putting in time and energy over a long haul versus just like learning something and it coming naturally and like things go smoothly. Like it just doesn't really work like that in the real world.
Yeah, like if you nailed it from like day one, that would suck. Like you wouldn't learn anything.
It's almost like a trust fund kit.
Yeah.
He's handed everything that he thinks he wants, but he's a miserable bastard because he was handed everything that he wants and didn't have to work for anything.
Which is super common. Like I know of a few people like that that are pretty comfortable based on like family lineage, but like they're not happy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I even know a couple friends, whereas in like university, crazy smart, like 98 on tests and like almost like perfect on essays all the time. And like school came very easily to them. And now at this point in their life, they're kind of struggling because they're unwilling to try things because they're afraid of like failure, of being like, oh, if it doesn't come easy to me, maybe that means that I shouldn't be doing it, versus being like, oh, that's actually something that you should really put some time and energy into. Like it's a skill you develop.
Yeah, like you can basically do well in school for the most part if you have an extremely, like if you have high reading comprehension and can like memorize shit, you're probably going to do okay.
Well, even if like from a learning standpoint, like some people learn very well based on kind of like how the school system is set up. Whereas other people, like it's just, they're a different kind of learner, whether it's like more of a visual learner or like an auditory learner, or like for me, I'm more of like an experiential learner, which like school, at least when I was there, did not provide. It was like textbook based and tests and quizzes and shit like that.
Me, I'm very visual. So like, I can't listen to audiobooks. Like I can't. Like I don't retain anything. I might retain it like somewhere deep in my subconscious, but I can't. Like I'll be listening to something on Spotify and then like half an hour later, but like, I don't know a single thing what's been going on. I just don't. Like if I'm not I don't even have to see the video. I just have to be like looking at the Spotify window to be like aware of what the fuck is going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, so you and I were talking yesterday because I think that's like one thing that I think like both of us have benefited from is say like creating these businesses, but starting to think of like some of the things that we've learned, whether it's like tools or skills or just even things about like living, I would say like a more fulfilling life of like, how do you share that with other people in a way that's like beneficial, but then also like fun too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't so like academic or school kind of very like rigid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was talking about like doing something that, for one, you're starting that new project with Exhale Therapy of like being able to kind of like subsidize therapy, because it is something that I think both of us agree on. Like it's important, and like part of the reason why we are where we are today is because we entered therapy.
100%.
And got the help we needed.
Yes.
And there's probably a lot of people out there, I would argue that there is no one that I've ever met in my life that would not benefit from therapy.
Correct. It says that you just have that negative connotation of what you think therapy is. It's just sort of maximizing your ability to like use your brain in a positive way.
I think it's also like helping you get out of your own way and like take things from like a, I know what I need to do, to, okay, you know what you need to do now, like let's put it into practice. And I find that's often a conversation I have with people, like where we're talking about something, depending on what they're struggling with, I'll be like, oh, like, have you ever tried therapy? And they're like, oh, no, I don't need it. Like, I know what I need to do. I'm like, well, like, you don't really. Like, maybe you do know what you need to do, but you're not doing it, right? Like, you need that support, or you need that help. And I would say, like, the one thing that I think is a bit of a challenge sometimes is like when you enter therapy, you know, you're going to have to confront or face some shit that is kind of it's kind of scary, because you have to take responsibility for stuff and be like, fuck, you know what? Like, I had a part to play in sort of where I'm at today or why I feel the way I do. And you're going to help me sort of get over that hump. Help me kind of like see the bigger picture of things.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to fucking be depressed or anxious or bipolar or fucking manic, or you freaking punch people in the face all the time to like, to go to therapy. It's just like, you don't even have to freaking really, you can just kind of go and sort of talk something out with like a impartial, like third party, to sort of talk out sort of like your mindset and where you are with just like your decision-making process. Maybe you're trying to like figure out a way to have like shitty conversations with people, like professionally or socially or romantically or whatever. And it's good.
Yeah. That's like, to me, the biggest benefit is talking to somebody in a non-judgmental capacity, that you can have a conversation with them and you're not really like holding back because you're like, oh, well, this person think less of me, or like, what's gonna happen if I share this? And often, like, if you're talking to, say, like a friend or a family member or something like that, they're gonna jump in and try and give you advice, or try and like say things that they're gonna try and like create a plan for you, rather than you really coming to that conclusion yourself and creating the plan that's best for you.
If anything, at the very least, it'll get you comfortable talking to someone about stuff you don't normally talk about, to someone who you know won't tell anybody, who know won't judge you, and will give you nothing but like positive feedback and steps to like make whatever situation going through more efficient or better, or happier, or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that kind of like speaks to why this is important to both of us. And like, I would like to kind of like be able to contribute in some sense. And I think that's what's kind of cool about doing almost like some kind of like fundraiser, right? Where like we provide some kind of like value to people, of create, say, like a mini kind of program of like helping people kind of get clear on what it is, say, like success means to them. Mm-hmm. And like starting to kind of like develop the habits and put a plan in place to, say, like over a 30-day period of like helping you kind of like close the gap on from like where you are to where you want to be and how you're going to do it, but do it alongside some other people and have some like useful information, but then raise some money along the way where we can provide, say, like the ability where like a program like that can have people go to it, and the money is not the obstacle that keeps them from entering that door.
Yeah. And I think that program that you'll develop, or that we'll develop, you'll probably do most of it because you're better at it. But and you're like an expert in it, and actually you're trained, and I'm just sitting here not wearing any pants with no door talking on a microphone. I'm literally not wearing pants. And then, like, see?
Oh, wow. That's a nice knee.
I'm actually not wearing pants because I don't have any clean shorts and I don't want to put on pants. But anyways, yeah, I think like a program can be so beneficial to people that, because if we spin it in a way that you don't necessarily think you need to go talk to like a trained therapist for counseling, but if you can put in a plan in place, whether it's, you want to call it like therapy or coaching or counseling, in a way to sort of frame how you can sort of make, say you feel stuck in your job or stuck in your freaking personal life, how you can sort of make that better. We'll obviously write much better marketing copy than I'm talking about right now. And then couple that with sort of like other, I'm sure there are other people around that would want to be involved in sort of donating, whether it's like product or services. And then we can use that as a means to raise money in order to support the Pay with Kindness program that we're doing with XL Therapy, in order to provide subsidized counseling services to members of the Kitchener-Waterloo community.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Well, I think that's like that's a good point, right? Like, how do you grocery shop? Do you go to a grocery shop and like, do you make a list before you go? Or do you just like go up and down the aisles picking stuff up?
This is a great question. I don't know if you're trying to lead me into something, so I don't know how to like alter my, so I'll answer it honestly. So if I'm going to like a cottage for the weekend, I'll usually make a list beforehand with my wife, Nicole.
But say like typically.
I'll just like randomly, like say I have to go to the grocery store today. I won't make a list. I will go traditionally straight towards the fucking meat department and like figure out, this is weird. Like, I'll go towards the meat department and like see what's on sale or what they have, and sort of pick a protein as like a main aspect of the meal. And then I will either go to the like fruits and vegetables department if I already have ideas of like what I want to create, which is essentially rehashing what we've made in the past, just because finding something new can be kind of a pain in the ass and frustrating. Or if I still don't know, I'll literally go up every single aisle and sort of like look for like the like see things on a shelf and trigger ideas in my brain and then sort of cobble stuff together.
So would you say, is that the most effective way to grocery shop?
No. Unless you want to get like 15,000 steps in a 2-hour period, but.
Yeah. So like, why do you do it differently when you go to a cottage?
Because it prevents the probability of a separation between my wife and I in the middle of the fucking grocery store. Because it's just easier.
Yeah.
This is just like, it's just simpler to go in there with a plan and you get out of there easier with less frustration.
Because you have a clear sense of like what you want to make, right? Like yeah. When it comes to meals.
Are you fucking trapping me right now into like the perfect situation?
No, but I think that's a big part of why I think a lot of people do struggle when it comes to even like creating the kind of life that they do want, is because they don't necessarily like, let's use that, like meal planning, right? Like, yeah. If you meal plan, you go into a grocery store, you know exactly like the ingredients that you need in order to make the meals that you want to make. So therefore, the rest of your week goes smoother because each day, you know, today I'm making meatloaf. Tomorrow I'm having like a fucking pecan salad. The next day you're having pizza, whatever it is. Like, you know specifically what ingredients you need to make what you're going to make. So I think like, what we could do with this program too is like almost treat it like that. Right? Like when you don't necessarily have a plan for what it is you want to create in your life, you don't necessarily know the steps that you're going to take on a day-to-day basis that are going to get you to go there. So like if we can start to help people like figure out what it is you want to create in the next 30 days, maybe you don't necessarily accomplish that in total, but like we're going to help you give like a plan of what that looks like, right? So then it's like choosing your recipes, and then we're going to give you like the ingredients that go into actually being able to make those things. So you're not like in the middle of the grocery store screaming for your wife saying, baby, baby, find me.
That's such a good, I'm so glad you brought that up. It's such a, like, it makes so much sense because you know how good it feels when you wake up and you're just like, I know exactly what we're going to have for dinner for the next fucking 4 days in a row.
Oh yeah. It's a relief. Like to go into the grocery store with like purpose is huge. To be like, I know exactly what I need, bop, 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 tick it off, and then you leave. Where like you can tell people that don't have, because they're just sort of like slowly going up the aisles. And like now it's especially a pain in the ass because you're like, the aisles are only so wide. They're generally only going in one direction.
Yeah.
So there's some fucking guy like you who's just sort of like staring at all the cracker boxes and going,
just spitting on everyone.
Which one do I grab? And you're just like, come on, man, choose them. Just grab the Triscuits. Like life is easier when you know what you want. And I think part of that is like defining, again, like one of the areas that I think is like hugely beneficial is like what we've talked about is like defining what success means to you. Like success beyond say like just the financial side of things, but like what success means from like a work-life balance, from like a sense of your family, your friends, your like your career, all those kinds of things. Like the clearer that you are in each of those areas, like your life gets a little bit smoother because you know what to do each day to actually move you towards those things.
Yeah, it makes your life so much easier.
Yeah, and I think like it's a cool thing that we talked about is like being able to say like do something like that and people participate in like a 30-day challenge where we kind of like go over those kinds of things and then donate all the money that we make for that towards like a program that allows people to get into counseling that otherwise wouldn't be able to do it.
That'd be great. That will be great.
It will be great. I think sometimes like where I've even gotten stuck with like business things is not necessarily knowing how like an idea comes to like fruition, like how you actually bring it to life. And I think that's where I find it useful to like talk about things, right? Of like, that's how kind of like an idea comes to life is you start to kind of like spitball things back and forth, then start to think about like how you're actually going to like create it and put it out there. And I think it'll be interesting to see like week to week as we get closer to say launching something like this, how it goes from like our first conversation today to like what it looks like once it's actually delivered.
Yeah, I agree. It'll be good.
It'll be just exciting.
The best.
Well, that might be a good place to wrap her up and allow people to stay tuned for next time. Will Tom be wearing pants?
I fucking hope not, but maybe.
Maybe.
Just maybe.
All right. See you, buddy.
See you, Chris.